Now we're moving to the question and answer period.
A very simple question. Will there be any Gentiles saved during the tribulation period?
Yes. At the beginning of the tribulation period, the Spirit of God will seal 144,000 of the physical descendants of Abraham, and they will preach the gospel throughout the world. Revelation 7 says multitudes from every kindred and tongue and tribe and nation will wash their robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. So there will be a group from Israel saved, and also untold multitudes from among the Gentiles.
Thank you. Another questioner is ready. Have another man at this mic. Thanks.
In relation to Israel as a nation, Matthew 24:34 says, "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all these things take place." Could you explain that to us, please?
Yes. In Matthew 24, verses 4 to 26, Christ has given many, many signs to forewarn Israel of the second advent of Christ. Then he wants to apply the lesson, and he says, "Now I want you to learn something from a fig tree." And if you look at Luke's account, he says, "From all the trees." Here's a universal principle in nature, that the trees have been dormant during the winter. And then when spring comes, a bud breaks out. And that you know that a process has started, and that very quickly that whole tree will be in full leaf. So he says to the generation that sees the first of those signs that he gave, that generation will not pass away until all be fulfilled, because it will all be fulfilled within a 7-year period. So it was spoken to those living after the rapture in the tribulation period who will see these signs.
Thank you. One more question on this right-hand mic. Doesn't matter which mic. Fine. Thank you, Gary. And David, if you take this one here. Thanks,
what part,
Gary,
does America play in Bible prophecy? You know,
I don't know.
Good question. I wanted to know that one too, Gary.
I don't know. I don't know what part Australia plays. But because I don't know doesn't mean I don't talk. A suggestion that I make is that our people, customs, laws, language, all came from those areas that arose out of the breakup of the old Roman Empire, so that it is conceivable to me that either of our nations could be a part of that 10-nation federation alliance that we refer to as the Kingdom of Antichrist. That the nations that will comprise that are not identified except to say they originated out of the old Roman Empire after its breakup.
Thank you, David.
Doctor, I refer to Revelation chapter 12, where it talks about the pageant of the dragon waiting for the birth of a child. This has always been quite puzzling to me. I was wondering if you could clarify it.
I will try. The dragon is identified in Revelation 12, I think it's verse 8, as Satan. And Satan has always opposed God's program. Satan would like to have prevented the reign of Christ on earth by destroying Christ at the time of his birth. That's why he moved Herod to send soldiers to kill all the babes in Bethlehem. He wasn't successful in killing Christ, so down through the ages he has tried to kill off the Jews. And anti-Semitism is really a satanic attack against God. And in the tribulation period, the dragon or Satan will seek once again to prevent the reign of Christ on earth by trying to kill all the physical descendants of Abraham, so that in Revelation 12, the antagonism of Satan against God and God's program is described.
Thank you. Doug Ross, and while Doug's coming up, someone else take the other mic. Thanks.
In Revelation 13:1, it speaks of the 10 horns. And concerning the horns, it said they've got crowns, so that seems to represent something political. Then it mentions the heads, and upon the heads, the name of blasphemy. What do you think the heads represent?
I think the heads represent the 10 nations that federate together. The 10 horns are on the heads, or the 10 crowns are on the heads of the 10 nations, or the leaders of the 10 nations. So that they're in existence, they are exerting political power, and they are said to be blasphemy, and blasphemy is essentially rejection of God. So these leaders that form the beast are in opposition to God.
Thank you, my brother.
Is there any substance in America's relationship with China in prophetic fulfillment?
I believe that China may be a part of the kings of the East, referred to in Revelation chapter 16, that will be one of the four great political world powers. And the significance I see is that China for so long had no relations with any outside nation. It was locked within itself. But now it is emerging out from behind its shell and taking its role as a political and economic power in the world. So that would be the significance that I would see in it.
Thank you, Gilbert. Another one over this mic, please.
Following on Rowley Brown's question with regard to the Gentiles being saved during the tribulation period, you mentioned 144,000 being going out into all the world, and then there'll be literally thousands who will be saved. Will there be any among that multitude who in this day and generation had the opportunity of accepting Christ as Saviour and rejected it? Would they have the second chance?
Well, second chance, as we use the term, normally refers to chance after death. There is no second chance after death. But as long as a man lives, I take it, it is a continuation of the first chance. And while there is a division over this, I myself do not know of any biblical reason why people who heard today and rejected could not be saved after the rapture of the church. The probability, I think, is small, but I think the possibility exists.
Thank you, Ozzy. We'll take this mic, but stay there, Peter. That's good. Ozzy?
Doctor, recently I read where we were told that we could people could receive the mark on their forehead and their on their hand by the year 1984. Do you believe that the church will be taken out before then?
Well, I believe the church could be taken out at any moment. Men are great for setting dates, and I resist the idea of setting dates and say it has to happen by a certain time, because we're told that we don't know the day nor the hour. Men might have an identifying mark by 1984, but I do not believe that that would necessarily be the mark of the beast. It could be, but it doesn't have to be. So I'm not saying the rapture must take place by 1984. I'm saying it could take place long before 1984.
Thank you. And another one coming up with this mic too.
So in Matthew 24, as we read down in chronological order, we get to the part where two are in a field, one is taken and one is left. Mm-hmm. Two are grinding in a mill, one is taken and one is left. Can you tell me when that happens, and also who is the one that is taken and who is the one that is left?
I believe that has reference to the second advent of Christ back to the earth. And there will be a separation of saved from unsaved when Christ comes back. One will be taken away in judgment, and the other, the saved, left to go into our Lord's earthly kingdom. So that the one taken is not taken in rapture. He is taken away in judgment. And the one who is left is the one who is left to go into our Lord's earthly millennial kingdom.
That explodes the theory of some of us thinking it applies to the rapture, doesn't it?
In Matthew 24 and 5, the subject is the prophecy for Israel.
That's right.
And the church does not occur in Matthew 24 and 25. And many who have put the church in there have gotten into trouble doctrinally.
Thank
so don't
you.
Do it.
Mr. Masterson, and someone else for this mic too, brothers.
Would you just share with us perhaps a couple of the key scriptures regarding the church not going through the tribulation?
Yes. There are two principal ones. The first one would be 1 Thessalonians 5:9, where he's describing the wrath of the day of the Lord, the tribulation period, and Paul says there, God has not appointed us believers to wrath. And then in Revelation 3:10, Christ speaks to the church of Philadelphia that represents the true believers in the end times. And Christ says, I will keep you from the hour, even the time, when the trial or the tribulation is to be poured out on the earth. Those would be two key passages. Perhaps you could add 2 Thessalonians 2, where the restrainer will be, that is the Holy Spirit, will be removed, and only then will the tribulation begin.
Thank you, Warren.
In Daniel's prophecy, with regard to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, one of the things that was mentioned about the legs and the feet and the toes, they comprised of iron and clay. Now, I've heard it described or interpreted that this means that democracy and communism cannot mix. Do you place any significance upon the difference between the materials, and also do you agree with that interpretation?
I do not agree with that interpretation. I do not believe it represents democracy and communism. I'll bring out a little bit more perhaps about that when we talk about Russia. Russia is an entirely different sphere. In Daniel 2, he's talking about the fourth of the Roman Empire. And in the ten toes, he says that these ten will emerge out of the united form of the Roman Empire. And the ankles and the toes are made up of iron and clay. Now, if you put gold and silver into a crucible and subjected to great heat, those two will fuse together and form an alloy. But if you put iron and clay and subject it to great heat, the iron will melt, but they will never fuse. And what he is saying is that when these nations divide themselves out from the Roman Empire, they will try to get back together again, but will not be able to do it until, by Satan's power, they are brought together voluntarily in the tribulation period. So that nations like France and Germany and Spain and Italy, they've tried again and again and again to get together, but never have done it.
Thank you. Thank you again, Peter. Someone else for this mic over here.
Could you give us some reference that the millennium will actually be on earth?
All of the promises in the Old Testament that have to do with the land signify that it's going to be here in this earth. God gave the land of Canaan to Abraham, and it was the possession of Abraham and his seed. That nation was to possess that territory that God gave to Abraham that went from Egypt all the way over to the Euphrates River. That was physical property. We'll look at it in Ezekiel 36 a little later in our study tonight, where God is going to gather Israel back to the land. In Matthew 24:31, at the second advent, he's going to gather the elect nation Israel back to the land. And then Christ is going to come, and he's going to set up David's throne. Because according to 2 Samuel 7:16, God said one of David's sons should sit on David's throne and rule over David's kingdom. And David's throne was earthly, David's kingdom was earthly, and David's people were earthly. And therefore the fulfillment of these prophecies has to be on the earth.
Thank you, and I want to thank you, gentlemen, for the way that you're lining up at the mic, seeing this is being recorded. Phil, we'll take John's first and you're second, Phil. Thank you, John.
Doctor, are you familiar with our bank card system at all?
No.
You're not. The mark of the beast, I've had it waved around me at the, not the mark of the beast, but the bank card system in the last few days, and they, Christians have said this is the mark of the beast, but you can't comment on that at all?
No, that couldn't be the mark of the beast, because that would mean Australia is the beast. And I don't believe it.
This came up on the radio today, of course. Someone asked this on 2GO when we were on the radio this morning. And as Dr. Pentecost pointed out, this is the only place where that mark appears on a bank card. And that puts Australia in a bad light. Thank you, Phil.
Well, I've read that next year the Jupiter effect is going to occur, where the planets line up. Some meteorologists don't agree, but some do, with catastrophic climatic effects and so on. Do you think this could have any significance in the last days?
Myself, I don't believe it has any significance. In the first place, this so-called Jupiter effect takes place periodically. It's happened over and over and over again in the past history of the Earth, and nothing such as the catastrophes they're talking about have happened previously. Then, the catastrophes of the tribulation period are divine judgments, and God is responsible for them, directly responsible. If these catastrophes that fulfill prophecy came about because of the alignment of planets, then God wouldn't be responsible at all, and he wouldn't get the credit, nor would it be any lesson to the world. The world would simply say, this is a natural phenomenon. We'll be dealing a little bit more with this kind of thing when we get in our study on Russia a little later.
Thank
myself,
you.
I don't see prophetic significance in it.
Thank you, John. We have 6 minutes left for question time. Someone else be ready for this mic. Thank you, John. You go ahead.
I had to ask me the other night, a woman is accepting the Lord, and but her husband has passed on many years ago. What state would her husband be in, standing the same as her as a Christian, when eternal life or the resurrection?
I'm not sure I understand your question. Let me make this statement. If I don't answer it, ask again. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, the moment a believer dies, he goes immediately into the Lord's presence. He's not in a state of sleep or unconsciousness. He's enjoying the Lord's presence. The body decays and returns to dust. At the resurrection, believers' bodies will be resurrected and reunited to the souls, and the person will live in that glorified body forever.
Right. But if the wife has become a Christian since the husband has died, and she doesn't know whether he's a Christian, what happens?
If he died unsaved, then he's lost eternally, and there'd be an eternal separation.
I think I might have to clarify it a bit better for you, because it is a subject that's dealt with today, if you get on that one. Sorry, I've got to make another point. But if the... I've just lost the situation. Maybe someone else, I'll rephrase.
We'll come back to you, John.
Yeah, get someone else and rephrase.
Thank you, my brother. And then Frank on that one.
The Antichrist, some have said that he's going to be Satan inside a person, like what Jesus did, God becoming a person. Or if he's going to trick Israel into thinking he's the Messiah, he's going to have to be Jewish or something like that. Or even suggestions that he's the Pope. I don't like to, you know, point my finger on people, things like that, because it's a lot of vagueness, but any idea of where he's coming from?
Now, you haven't asked me a question, and I don't know what you're asking. You've made a lot of statements.
Well, where the Antichrist is coming from.
The Antichrist will arise as the head of these 10 nations that had their origin in the division of the old Roman Empire. And Revelation 13:2 says that Satan gives him his power and his authority. And associated with Antichrist is another person called in Revelation 19:19 the false prophet. And the false prophet, by Satan's power, works miracles. And these miracles are used to deceive the world into believing that this Antichrist is actually God.
Thank you, Frank.
During the millennium period, will the children there be born in sin or not?
Yes. Those who go into the millennium in their natural bodies are saved. But like you and I today, still have an old sin nature. And the children born in the millennium will be born of the sin nature. They need to be saved. That's why the nation Israel will perform the function of evangelists during our Lord's earthly reign. And Zechariah says that 10 men in that day will take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, "We will go with you because we have heard that God is with you."
Thank you, Frank. Malcolm?
Doctor, during the millennium, will Christians who have passed from this life into heaven, will we play any part with Christ during the reign of that 1,000 years?
Yes. We are Christ's bride. When Christ reigns, we will reign with him. We'll be resurrected, Hebrews 12:22-24 says, into the heavenly city, New Jerusalem. And when Christ comes to earth the second time, he brings that heavenly city along with him, and it's suspended like a satellite city over the earthly city of Jerusalem. Christ dwells in that heavenly city, and he reigns from the earthly city. The redeemed will have access to the earth, but they will not be confined to the earth as their habitation during our Lord's reign.
Before we come up, John, I wonder if someone else, excuse me, has a question about that. This to me has been a most interesting emphasis about the heavenly city being suspended planet-like above the earth during the millennium. Are you all clear on that? Does someone else have a question before we take John's question? Anyone? Yes, Alf, as long as we keep to this question.
From the dimensions given in Revelation, the heavenly city was something somewhat bigger than the moon. There's quite an effect on the earth, I imagine, as gravitation was.
We're not told what effect it will have, but it does tell us in Revelation 21 that all of the nations that are on the earth will walk in the light of this heavenly city. So it's bound to have a great effect. We know that things are going to be radically changed during the millennial reign of Christ, because even the deserts are going to be transformed and blossom like a rose. And if you thought you were going to be here on earth, you'd be smart to go out here in the outback and get a big hunk of that property, because when that blossoms like the rose, it's going to be very valuable in the millennial age.
I wonder if you'd explain the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it.
All right. I think that has to do with submission to the authority of the king.
I see.
Who rules from the heavenly city.
Yes.
They recognize his right to rule.
Yes. Thank you. John, we'll come back to you.
Yes. Well, how can you reconcile or console a person that is in this situation about a husband? What would you say?
I can't. There is no consolation. If a person dies without Jesus Christ, he is lost.
Right.
And there's nothing you can say to change that.
Well, the answer I gave was, the past has forgotten. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. And when we enter into heaven, what was in the past, we remember no more. We only remember the future. Is that as good as
I think that could be about as good as you can do, but you can't give such a person any hope that she's going to enjoy her husband's fellowship.
Yeah, this is the only answer I could give.
Thank you for that, John. I think, brother, we might have Ross. Ross has been standing up there patiently for a while. Take it, Ross.
Thank you.
Doctor, Revelation 4, chapter 4 and 4, it mentions 24 elders around the throne. I wonder if you could tell us.
I believe the elders there are representative of the redeemed body, the total redeemed body of believers, because they are robed and they are crowned, and the word for crown there is the victor's crown, the rewards. So when the tribulation period begins, the church is viewed as surrounding the throne in heaven, which is incidentally another reason why I believe the church will not go through the tribulation. It's in heaven when the tribulation begins.
Thank you, sir.
Doctor, you make a differentiation between the church, apparently, and other saints, particularly of the Old Testament, such as the patriarchs, Abraham, etc. Is there any differentiation between the patriarchs as such and the church?
Yes, because the church did not begin until the Holy Spirit descended in the second chapter of Acts. That was the birthday of the church. So that Abram and David and Daniel and all the Old Testament saints were saints. They were redeemed. But they had one relationship to the Lord, and the relationship of the church following the day of Pentecost is a different relationship to the Lord. So that the Old Testament saints are not the same as the church.
Dr. Pentecost, I did want to finish the meeting at 9:30, but the questions are still coming. Are you happy to go on with the questions for a while?
This is your meeting.
If we give you the guarantee that we'll attempt to close as close to 9:30 as possible, I think I will extend the question time a little longer, and I'll ask this one. I thought I was going to miss out. Matthew 25, verse 33, "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungered, and you gave me meat, thirsty, and you gave me drink," etc. And then we will take verse 41, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Imagine how this is going to come up over the tape. I'm sorry about this. "For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink." Would you kindly explain that, Doctor?
Yes, in Matthew 25, you have two judgments that the king will execute when he comes. The first is the judgment of the wise and foolish virgins. This is the judgment on living Israel to determine who enters the kingdom and who's excluded from it. And the prepared, the wise, are accepted into the kingdom, and the unprepared, the foolish, rejected. Then from Matthew 25, 31 to 46, you have a judgment on sheep and goats. And it says there, "Before him are gathered all the nations," or better translation, "all the Gentiles." So this is the second judgment. All the living Gentiles are assembled for judgment. They're separated into two groups, the sheep and the goats. Now, along with the sheep and goats is a third group that are referred to as my brethren, inasmuch as ye did it or did it not unto my brethren. And my own personal feeling is that my brethren is a reference to those 144,000 saved Jews who were the evangelists during the tribulation period. And they preached the gospel of salvation by grace through faith. And a man either accepts their message or rejects the message. If one accepted the message, he extended hospitality because these did not have the mark of the beast. They couldn't buy or sell or get a motel room or anything. And so the one who accepted their message and accepted Christ as Savior extended hospitality. And Christ says, "Inasmuch as you did it to these, you did it as a sign of your faith in me." They're not saved by works. They are saved by faith. And on the other hand, those who rejected the message would have nothing to do and would extend no hospitality to the messengers. So their lack of hospitality demonstrates their lack of faith.
Thank you. Ross Lane, did you have a second question before Mr. Charles? Thank you. And then someone on this mic will close soon. Thanks, Ross.
Two questions, if I may. The first is, some people say that the earth will be cleansed by fire after the millennium, and from the Bible, I would think that it was destroyed and replaced, which is...
In 2 Peter chapter 2, the earth is destroyed by fire. But that is viewed as a cleansing, so that out of the ashes of this earth, God can create new heaven and new earth that will be the eternal dwelling place of the redeemed.
The other one is in Revelation. Hang on. Revelation 21. The saints are...
said to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ after the millennium. I was wondering what or who they would reign over.
In 1 Corinthians 15, 22 and following, at the end of the 1,000 years of our Lord's earthly millennial reign, Christ surrenders that kingdom to the Father. And the Father appoints Christ as a king eternally. And he will reign as God's regent over the redeemed eternally. And the believers of this age, who are called the bride of Christ, will reign with Christ, not only during the millennium, but on through eternity as well.
Thank you. One more question here.
Two of them there.
Okay, two there. And we'll take one more from this mic, and perhaps we'll close off then. Mr. McAlpine's taking it. Thank you, brother.
Just wondering if you could clarify the position of the Old Testament saints on the new reign on earth. And I sort of can't quite understand.
Same question.
As far as the Old Testament saints are concerned, Hebrews 12, 22-24, tells us that in the heavenly city New Jerusalem, there will be God the Father, God the Son, the unfallen angels, the spirits of just men made perfect, that I believe are Old Testament saints, plus the church of the firstborn. So that the church saints are raptured, translated, and resurrected into the heavenly city at the rapture. The Old Testament saints are resurrected and translated into the heavenly city at the second advent. And both groups will live during the millennial age and share in the glory of the millennial age. But they are not, by resurrection, formed into one group. They are recognized as two groups.
Both with the same position in heaven.
But they both will be in the heavenly city sharing the glory of Christ's reign. That's why in Hebrews 12 it is said that Abraham looked for a city that hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. He was anticipating the fulfillment of all that God promised him from that heavenly city.
Could we include that before we have your second part of your question, because it's connected here. Could you give us a comment on the interpretation that some have that the new heaven will be the eternal location of the church, the believing church, and the new earth will be the eternal dwelling place of believing Jews?
To me, that divides one sphere into two separate groups.
You're right.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Those were two places. Mm. But the earth with its atmosphere was a habitable sphere. Mm. The new heaven and earth is not two different spheres where never the twain shall meet. Mm. It is the new sphere in which the total body of the redeemed will be dwelling for eternity.
Thank you, Mr. McAlpine. Oh, sorry, brother.
I'm just not real clear on, is the old earth, or this earth, destroyed completely, or what, if you can just clarify that for me?
Yeah, this earth came under a curse, according to Genesis 3, when Adam sinned. And there has to be a divine judgment to remove the curse. And that curse comes, Peter describes it in 2 Peter chapter 2, where there will be a great noise and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That seems to be the end of this earth. But God creates new heaven and new earth. And that new heaven and new earth seems to be the continuation of this. So I suggest that out of the atomic ashes, God creates a new earth, the same way out of the dust of the body that has gone in the ground, he recreates the body as a resurrected body. So there'll be a resurrected body and, as it were, a resurrected earth.
Thank you. Charles?
At the end of the tribulation period, who will be the people that are still on earth and what will happen to them?
Well, who will be the people on earth? All the people who weren't raptured. I'm not getting the intent of your question.
Will there be any unsaved people still on earth at the end of the tribulation?
Oh, yes. Multitudes. That's why we have to have the judgment of the wise and foolish virgins and the judgment of the sheep and goats. There'll be saved and unsaved. But only the saved can go into our Lord's earthly reign. So that's why those two judgments that I spoke about a moment ago, to separate the saved from the unsaved. And those are judgments on people who have lived during the tribulation period.
So the unsaved will have been judged away, and those who are saved will be part of the millennium period.
That's right.
Christ. Thank you.